Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus. Well, this is quite a statement. God's plan for the church, for every New Testament church, God has a plan. And right here we see the very focus of that plan. Unto him be glory in the church. God's plan for the church is that God would be glorified. That's God's plan for the church. That in it, through Jesus Christ, God would be glorified. Now, of course, we know that that word glory is sometimes hard to figure out. There's a lot of different definitions for ways to understand glory. But in the Old Testament, the root word for glory was the word heavy. And remember how it said that Eli, when he heard the news that the ark was taken, he fell backwards and he died because he was heavy. Okay? That's the word glorious. He was a pretty big man. But really, the root idea was that a soldier, his glory was known by how many medals they had. And so if his uniform was weighted down with many, many medals, his uniform was heavy. He was a glorious, glorious soldier, okay? A tremendous soldier. And that's still true today, isn't it? You know, Mr. Golzinski was telling us, though, you have to buy those bars. They don't give them to you for free. You have to buy them. That sounds like U.S. government, but in the New Testament, we have that idea, but it has the similar idea to give a right opinion of. To give a right opinion of God. And as we think of the angels in heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy," night and day crying, "Holy, holy, holy to God." They're giving the right opinion about God. You know, a church can give any kind of opinion about God. You know, a church can give the opinion that God is a master, loves Hollywood. He loves entertainment. You know, you could give that opinion about God. You know, there's a lot of false opinions of God that are given by churches today. But the purpose of the church is to bring the right opinion of God before men. The right opinion of God before men. That's the purpose of the church. The true opinion of God. And I remember hearing about this Marine who got saved. His name was Chuck Cofty. And a great story. In fact, the story was on Unshackled one day. But he got saved, and he was a pretty rough character. Served in Vietnam, and et cetera. He was an officer, and he got saved, and in the officers' club, he would go witnessing. Well, he got rid of his booze, and he'd go around with a canning jar, a quart or canning jar full of milk, you know, and so the guys knew that he wasn't drinking, you know, but he would still smoke. And he was witnessing to this fellow about Jesus and about salvation. And this fellow just looked him right in the eye and said, "If your God isn't big enough to get rid of that cancer stick, I'm not interested." "Guy, your God's not powerful enough to get rid of that cancer stick? I'm not interested." Well, what was Chuck Crofty was not giving a very good opinion of God, was he? He was giving an incorrect opinion of God. And this unsaved person reminded him about what he was doing. And and Brother Crofty was a genuine Christian. That was a pretty strong motivation to get rid of those things. And I'm sure in very short order he just got rid of them. Because he wanted people to have the right opinion about his God. And so it tells us that the church, that in the church, it says, "Unto him be glory in the church." As you look at the beginning of Ephesians, of course, it tells us on an individual basis, of course, this is an individual basis, but it's written to the church at Ephesus. And speaking to the members of that church. And what is it telling us that our salvation is about? And verse 6 of chapter 1. It saying that our salvation is to the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And, of course, the whole context, verse 3, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." You know, it's kind of interesting. Some people read that verse, "He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world," and they stop there. What has He chosen before the foundation of the world? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Wow. What has He chosen? He's chosen us that we would be holy and without blame. God has a plan. He has planned that His people be holy and without blame. And that is the context in which He's saying that we are to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Here we have these horrible sinners. These horrible sinners. And these horrible sinners. The Bible says, before we're saved, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works now in the children of children of disobedience. He chosen us, related to Satan, walking according to this world. And you know, we think the world is so bad. Let me tell you what, the world has always been bad. The world has always been bad. The problem is we've lived in this blurb of 200 years of America, of a place without real persecution, which is a bubble in the history of the world. That really, in one sense, where it has never, never happened anywhere else in the world. And we just assume that this is the way it was. No. But God has a plan. He saves us. He's chosen that we, us wicked sinners, would be something completely different. That in Christ we would be holy and without blame. In fact, if you read chapter 3 and verse 10, it is putting a different focus on it. It says in Ephesians 3:10, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What? That we should be holy and without blame. That's his eternal purpose. And so look at what it's saying. It says the angels. Yeah. The angels, the principalities, the angelic beings are looking down at churches. They're looking at churches. And God has chosen us. He's chosen his plan for churches. Jesus said, I will build my church. God's people are to be in a church, a Bible, New Testament church. And what's the purpose of this church? Is to show the angels the manifold wisdom of God. That God was smart. That God was going to do something that was completely impossible in the minds of the principalities and powers of the air. That wicked sinners would be holy. That wicked sinners would gladly serve God and live a holy life. They're looking down and they say, whoa, what? God's plan was, what a miracle this salvation is. That God can take this lost race of humanity and save them. And make them holy and without blame. Now, God has a plan. You know, his plan is for the church. That's what a church is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be full of people. Saved people. Whose purpose in life is to be holy and without blame. To be obedient to him. To live such a way that the angels of heaven would say, wow, look at this. This is amazing. Now, when you think about, what do you think some angels think when they look down at churches? What do you think they think? I mean, did anybody ever think here that the angels and principalities, they're looking? They're looking, aren't they? I wonder what they say. Hey, come on over here. At this church, during the sermon, they got the Packer game on. Hey, go on over to this church. You see, so and so and so and so and so and so, the minute the sermon starts, they start sleeping. You see, so and so, see what's going on in their life? You know what's happening after church? It's a joke. Does that bring glory to God? Are those angels saying, oh, look at this wonderful miracle of salvation? No, they aren't saying that. But when a church is what it's supposed to be, the angelic beings are learning the manifold wisdom of God in His wonderful plan of sending Christ to die for man's sin and to save them and regenerate them and make them His children and put them in a church to learn the Word of God, etc., etc. Wow. So God has this plan. You know, that's the plan for the church. You know, that is an unbelievable big plan. And you know, Satan's working against it. Don't you think so? I was just talking to someone, you know what the saddest thing about being a pastor is? Someone gets revived. At the same time someone gets revived and starts going forward, someone else, you watch them, they're starting to go in the opposite direction. Just the time you think that the church is getting stronger, just the time you think now we can make some progress, someone will whatever, get bitter over something or whatever, and the progress wasn't made. Maybe some person's getting personal victory over some sin. One other person at the same time is losing, getting closer to the world. You know, because the devil's about to defeat God's purpose, isn't it? Do you ever think that God has a purpose for your life in the church? And every individual is essential to get the message to the angels that God is wise and this salvation really works. You know what I'm saying? Wow. So Ephesians chapter 1, go back there. It says, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. What is being predestinated to? That we should be to the praise of His glory. This is what God determined the purpose of salvation to be. That we would be to the praise of His glory. Now, let's look at it from a different standpoint. And sometimes we're at fault here. Sometimes we present this thing of salvation is all about you going to heaven. You know what I'm saying? And so we say, hey, do you know for sure if you're going to die, you go to heaven? But what did God say the plan of salvation was? That we would be to the praise of His glory. That's our purpose. Have fellowship with God. Bring honor to God. Walk with God. Be a people that brings glory to God. Now, obviously, the other part is there. No wonder the health, wealth mentality, Christianity has become so popular. It's because sometimes we make salvation all about man when salvation is all about God. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, sometimes that's why we have such a hard time with trials, is because we made salvation all about us. When salvation is all about Him. And bring glory to Him. And what we're saying, this focus of the church is not me. It's not us. It's God. And so, you know, there's such a thing as Job. And we learn from Job that God had a purpose. And His purpose was to show Satan that Job would serve Him no matter what. Now, doesn't it seem like His purpose wasn't Job-centered? Doesn't it seem like His purpose was God-centered? You know what I'm saying? His purpose was God-centered. And He felt that Job understood the purpose of his life was God. Be God-centered. And so, in that same realm, we recognize that God has a, among other things, God has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life and mine. It's bring glory to Him. You know what? God has a purpose for the church. What is the purpose of the church? To bring glory to God. That's the purpose of the church, to bring glory to God. Now, think about it. It says there in Timothy, if a man strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What is it saying? Well, that means you don't get the prize if you break the rules. You know, you might cut this corner and cut that corner and cut this corner to end up finishing first in the race, but you aren't going to get the prize, right? Because you have to strive lawfully. And I think the parallel is here. We live in a day in which the idea is cut this corner, cut that corner, cut this corner. As long as you end up in first place, that you're a winner. No. No. God's got a rule. The rule is what you do it to the glory of God. If you are breaking the Bible to be the winner, you aren't going to get the prize. And likewise, God isn't going to be glorified. God isn't going to be glorified. Our purpose is to bring the right opinion of God. Now, we could apply that multitudes of ways. But if God is holy, then it ought to be the purpose of every member of this church to live in such a way that people know that God is holy. Amen? Every member of this church, their purpose is that people would have the right opinion of God. Now, the fact is, the right opinion of God among some people isn't going to be very good. You know what I mean? But at least they're going to get the right opinion that He's holy. And so we have all these practical things in the book of Ephesians about Okay, how do I bring glory to God? And of course, we have in Ephesians 5, it talks about, how we are to live, and we were sometimes darkness, and et cetera, and it talks about the family, it talks about children, it talks about workers, you know, it talks about fathers. All these ways that we bring glory to God in this lost world. You know, what's great is that no matter how horrible the world is, and it's going to get worse, you know, no matter how horrible the world gets, the plan of salvation is still going to work. And people are still going to get saved, and they're still going to live the Bible way, no matter how horrible the world gets. Because the plan of salvation still works. It still shows the power of God. And in that sense, we have this opportunity to show the light in a dark, dark world that's just going to get darker. And there's so much that we can say, but I always say this: faith takes about 20 to 30 years. You know that? Faith always takes 20 to 30 years. I say, you know, you have young children and you make important decisions about what's right, and you decide what your family's going to be like, and you never change. People will mock you. People will mock you. They'll just say all sorts of horrible things. They'll say you don't have any brains. You just follow a man. You know, they'll say whatever. But you'll make the right decisions for your family. And when their kids grow up and go into the world and have all these troubles, and your kids are doing great, why? You made the right decision 20 years ago. That's why. You made the right decision 20 years ago. And all of that will show the glory of God. We'll show the glory of God. That's a great verse for us to think about, the purpose of our church. The purpose of our church is to bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And the glory of God is to bring the right opinion of God, of who He is, of His holy character, of His wisdom, His power, etc. Time is up. Lord, I pray that You will encourage us to realize that this is such a huge deal, huge focus to bring glory to the God of the Bible, to bring glory to a holy, perfect God, to bring glory to a God who loves and changes sinners, a God whose salvation through Jesus Christ changes lives, is powerful. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Maybe even tonight, the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and said, you know what? My focus hasn't been right. My focus has been on me. And I realize that my focus needs to be on God. And bringing glory to God in this world through the church. And that's my job as a church member, to bring glory to God. And the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. And there's an important decision, a decision along that line about changing your purpose, your outlook. Say, Pastor, God spoke my heart, and here's my hand. I recognize that's God's plan, and I've made some reckoning with the Lord, decision with the Lord about that tonight. Okay, praise the Lord for those hands. Okay, amen. And others, amen. Lord, bless those important decisions. Huge, Lord. That focus. Might you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.